Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
May 30th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, killer shooting tips from Scott Bourne. That's right, I'm going to have my good buddy Scott Bourne. He's going to join us. This guy is Mr. Photography, and you'll see what I mean by that here in a few minutes. And he has tips for you while you're taking pictures that are just going to knock your socks off. I mean, you are going to love it. You're going to be so happy you tuned in this week. You're not going to believe it. So right before we get to Scott, I just want to remind you to turn in your entry form for the slideshow showcase. Try to get in by the end of May, right? And even if you think you're going to change your mind on the title or something, and you know the final deadline for everything is June 15th. That's when I have to have your slideshow. You can always send in an updated entry form later if you change something, but I really kind of need to know how many of you are going to send stuff in because we're dealing with a lot of stuff here, and I just don't want it all to pile in on June 14th and go, whoa, I didn't know all you guys were going to do stuff. Anyway, I've been working on mine. I took the week off from working on the slideshow because I was down at lynda.com working on a training for Aputure. That's actually where Scott and I were hanging out. And I'll be talking more about that here in a couple months. We did we'll end up with 7.5 hours of Aputure training. So, and that's just an introduction title. This is some really good stuff. And I'm going to make sure that this is available at a good discount for the digital story community. So I'll be talking more about that in a couple months, but I'm back to my slideshow now. I'm going to have mine ready by June 15th too. I'm totally jazzed about this. Hey, you know, I'll just tell you a little anecdote and then we'll get to Scott. I was working on the press release today with the PR person and I was, you know, describing it and we were working on, this is going to be the press release that goes out when we announce everyone that's in the showcase. So this will be about June 30th. And this is when we tell the world about this great stuff that we have that they can come and see. And I was just describing, you know, my feelings about all of this and what I wanted to say in the press release. And I was getting tingles, you know, I cannot wait for the world to see this stuff. And I can't wait to send out that press release and let people see your work and my work. And, you know, we're gonna get people jazzed about slideshows. Okay, so I'm jazzed about slideshows, as you can tell. But right now, let's talk to Scott a little bit, and he's going to get you jazzed about taking pictures. And by the end of the show, you're just going to be jazzed about so many things, you'll just be spinning around in circles. All right, here we go, Scott.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Derek. I've been a photographer most of my life, and I'm a guy who wasn't born with a natural gift. I had to learn how to be a photographer, and I learned some tools and tips along the way, which I love to share with people. And so I've been leading photo workshops, particularly nature workshops and wildlife workshops, for about 10 years. And I lead them all over the country. In fact, my next workshop is going to be in Alaska at Lake Clark National Park. I'll be taking a group of 10 photographers to photograph coastal brown bears, so I'm pretty excited about that. But we always get into these lulls in between the shooting because, you know, the best photography is early in the morning, late in the afternoon. And so during the midday, we don't like to take pictures because the sun's too high and the shadows are too harsh. So we'll sit around at lunch and we'll do little training sessions. And that's where I come up with all these little acronyms. And everyone thinks that I came up with these acronyms because I'm a great teacher. And the truth is I came up with them because I'm old and have Alzheimer's and can't remember the stuff without it. So that's where I come up. That's where I came up with them.
So before we get to the acronyms, and we're definitely going to get to those acronyms because I just love them, I want to talk a little bit about what happens, you know, this human thing that happens when we first get to a great destination as photographers. And this happens to me. I totally fess up. I get somewhere beautiful, and right away, everything looks like a great shot to me, and I'm just like da 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 shooting all over the place. Talk a little bit about, I mean, imagine going to Alaska or something, and you know, how do you work this with your students so that they end up getting good shots and not just firing from the hip the whole time?
Well, I don't, unfortunately. The first day is always a wash. We get there and I warn them in advance the night before we shoot. We always get together the night before, and I say, now, look, guys, we're going to get out there, and you're going to see some really cool stuff you've never seen before, and you're going to be tempted to just machine gun everything. But, you know, think about composition. Try to cool your jets a little. And they all go, okay, Scott, we got it. And then they walk out there, and it's, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like Normandy or something. They just shoot everything that moves. And, I mean, this one guy came with me. He had 8 2-gigabyte cards back when 2-gigabyte cards were pretty rare. And in the first morning shoot, he filled up all 8, you know, and I was like, whoa, that's just a few too many pictures. So, you know, I try to warn him. And the best thing you can do is get in your mind that you aren't going to see something, you know, just once. You might see it 2, 3, 4 times, and try to prepare yourself to really stop and think about the rules of photography rather than just pointing and shooting at everything that moves.
And I think that's where the rules come in handy. So after you sort of got some of that out of your system and you've done a little bit of machine gunning, and you can put those on a hard drive, and then you can get into taking some serious shots. So let's talk about a few of those. Let's get to your first acronym.
Okay. My first one is called SAS, and that stands for Subject Attention Simplify. And this is the most basic rule when I'm working with new students that I want them to use. And it's the first rule that I ask them to apply after they've done the machine gun approach. It's like, okay, you got your basic coverage shots. You know you've got something. Now let's really stop and think about, what's the subject of your next photograph going to be? I mean, is it the bear? Is it the wilderness? Is it the bear in the wilderness? Is it the berry the bear is eating? I mean, you have to know what the subject is. It's just like any good story. If you read a book or go see a movie, Derek, there's a storyline. What's the story about? So you could say, well, Star Wars is about lightsabers. No, it's not. It's actually a love story. And so you have to know what the story is. Subject helps you identify, okay, that's the story. Attention is the second step. And that's where you start to, as a photographer, make some creative decisions and say, what can I do to draw attention to that subject? Well, for beginners, often the biggest thing they can do is just get closer, because you want to fill the frame with more of the subject. You can also position the subject in the frame a certain way that the eye more naturally goes to it. For instance, if you have a brightly colored subject, everybody's eye goes to the brightest part of any picture first. So you would want to put that bright subject at the key position in the frame to really draw attention. Conversely, if your subject isn't the brightest object in the frame, you want to have that bright object excluded if it's possible, so that everybody looks at your subject. So that's the attention part. And then the third part of that acronym, SAS, is just simplify. What can you do to make the picture better? Now, a very famous nature photographer named John Shaw says the difference between a professional photographer and amateur is the professional knows what not to include. So just start asking yourself, does this element in the picture help me tell my story? Do I really need the picture of the trash can sitting next to the barn to tell the story of the barn? How about if I exclude that trash can and now I can just simplify and get the viewer to look at the barn? So subject, attention, simplify. It's just a little tool to put in your gadget bag with your flash and your flash meter and your lenses that says, I'm going to make a better picture.
Now, this is interesting to me because as you're telling me about this, and I'm thinking about, as a photographer, the other thing that happens is when we get into a zone, right? We get into a zone and somehow our focus and our concentration becomes a lot better. So the techniques that you're talking about, are they something that you practice and then they just become incorporated into the zone? Or do you actually have these parallel thoughts going on in your head while you're shooting?
When you first start out, it has to be conscious, just like driving a car. You go to driver's ed, you get behind the wheel, you start thinking about, oh, I have to put my foot on the clutch, I have to do that. But the good news about using the SAS acronym is that if you photograph a lot, and I recommend that people should handle their camera every day, even if they're not on a trip. If you photograph a lot and apply this, it just becomes second nature. So yes, you are parallel processing it. You're just not familiar with it in terms of your conscious mind that you're doing it. It's just something that happens in the background. You start to do these things automatically.
And then, of course, when you see the great shots show up on your computer screen, then that really reinforces this whole approach to photography. I just love that. I think that's fabulous. You had another one, too, that I was pretty interested in. Do you remember what that one was?
Well, actually, I have two more basic ones. The next one is called EdFat. And I can't take credit for this one. EdFat is actually an old photojournalist tool that almost all the photojournalists that came up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s used. And it stands for Entire, Details, Focal Length, Angle, and Time. EdFat. And this is geared towards people who want to take photographs in a storytelling approach. Let's say that you land at Yosemite National Park. You've never been there. There's this gorgeous, huge thing. Just everywhere you look, there's beauty. But you have to tell a story with your camera. And let's say you've got 10 or 12 pictures to do it. And you're not allowed to use any words. You have to just take pictures, take them back to your friends and family, and say, this is what the park looks like. So if you use EdFat, it kind of keeps you on track to tell the story. The first shot is the entire shot. And if you go to movies, you'll almost always see that there's the big, wide opening shot to start the movie. If you go see the new Kevin Costner Western, they'll have a big valley shot that shows the whole valley with the ranches and the farms and everything. And then they start to drill down. And that's what the D is in EdFat, details. So maybe the first shot is an establishing shot to give you an idea of place, but then detail shots start to be one of the peaks in the park, or one of the waterfalls, or one of the natural features instead of all of them. Maybe you go to Yosemite and you photograph Half Dome. That's a detail within the larger picture that you can take of the Yosemite Valley that has Half Dome and all the other great places we know. So that's the D in details. So entire, details, focal length. Now, this causes you to take a storytelling approach, because sometimes we get in a rut and everything we shoot's wide angle, or everything we shoot's with a telephoto. So a person who's going to take a photojournalist approach would switch lenses up to take the same photograph. So maybe I'll take the picture of Half Dome really close using my 14-millimeter lens and get a very odd landscape where I put something interesting in the foreground and then Half Dome kind of shrinks in the background. And then maybe I'll go all the way back to the beginning of the valley and use my longest focal length lens and just zoom in on a cloud right above the peak on Half Dome. They're both pictures of Half Dome, but with different focal length lenses, I'm able to give different perspectives. So that's entire, details, focal length. Now here comes the next one, angle. Angle is crucial. With angle, you can really tell a story. If you're taking a photograph of a CEO and he's a really big shot guy and you want to make him seem powerful, an important angle to use would be to shoot up on him. You get down low and shoot up at him, and he looks really big. Conversely, you can take a powerful man and make him look small by shooting down on him. So when you get to a rock, a big rock feature or a waterfall that you really want to be impressive in your photograph, change your angle and shoot up on it, make it dominate. And then if you want to just maybe isolate something and make it seem small, shoot down on it. So try shooting everything from both a high level and a low level. Unfortunately, Derek, all my students' pictures come in initially at roughly 5 feet 10 inches tall, which happens to be the height of most tripods. So we want you to get off that tripod. And by the way, every one of those tripods that I've ever seen at the camera store has legs that go up and down. So you're not stuck there at 5'10". You can actually shoot at various lengths of tripod. So that's the angle. And then time is the last one. EdFat, entire, details, focal length, angle, time. Now, time actually has two functions. One is time of day. So maybe we go shoot that shot of Half Dome at sunrise, and then we come back and shoot it at sunset because the light comes in from a completely different angle. It's a whole different shot. It's amazing how much different it looks. And if you really want to see how different it is, shoot it at noon when it's ugly. So time is a very important function in photography. But there's also a side chain on this one, and that's shutter speed. We can do some really fun pan blur stuff. Yeah, we'll get the rock solid, stick it on the tripod, shoot it for, 4 seconds and, F22, and it's perfectly sharp and it looks great. But now let's just do some handheld stuff with slow shutter speed, do some pan blurs of some birds flying in front of the mountain. That stuff can be very artistic. So it forces us to think about telling the story. So EdFat is a storyteller's tool. You get to a place and you start making a mental checklist. Did I shoot it with this focal length? How about that? Did I change my angle? Did I do something different with each shot? And like the other acronym, SAS, EdFat is something that if you do often enough, and I do it with every job, it just starts to be second nature.
It's great stuff. And I was thinking while you were talking, especially about the angle of EdFat, and it reminds me of one of my favorite stories about Dorothea Lange. And of course, Dorothy Lange, very famous Depression era photographer that really showed the common man and woman, and you know, and she made them look, you know, very statuesque and added grandeur to the Depression. But the funny thing about it is that she was a very petite woman. She wasn't very tall, and then she was using a Wastefinder camera. So this camera, when she was shooting all these people, the camera was down at her waist or so, and she wasn't very tall to begin with. So she was shooting up on everyone, and of course, you know, if you follow Ed Fat, then the common man is going to look very noble when you shoot it from, you know, 3 feet off the ground.
Yeah, that's a really good story about her, and I did in fact know that story, and that's a good illustration of where angle's important. I recently did some images for a wildlife book that I published called Captivating Wildlife, and I was taking a picture of a baby mountain lion, only 6 weeks old. Now, I happen to know this mountain lion's mother and father, and they're very statuesque, noble, big cats, powerful shoulders, strong. And I thought it was an interesting juxtaposition against this little teeny kitty that you want to just pet and love, and knowing that in 6 months it's going to be the ferocious mountain lion. So I actually got down on my knees and shot the little mountain lion up on a rock, sort of to let everybody know this is what's coming. Down the road, this is going to be the king of the cats. And so, yeah, that's angle's very important. And the last one, Derek, is called Lutta. And this one's really simple. Look up, look down, look all around. Too many times I've taken people on a workshop and we bail out of the cars and they run up to the fence there at the national park and they just plop their tripod down at the first place they see room and jam their camera on there and start firing away. And they don't take any time to look around. And I've worked with some really powerful photographers that know what they're doing, and what they'll do, the real pros, you take a John Shaw, for instance, they won't even get their camera out of the car. They'll get out of the car, and they'll head up the trail, and they'll just go look. They'll look everywhere to find what the real shot is, and then they'll go get the camera and set it up. So just even the simplest approach would be go ahead and plop it out of the car, set it where you want, but then right before you shoot, just look up. Because maybe there's a nice tree above you, or maybe there's a nice sky that you've missed. Look down. Maybe there's a beautiful floral arrangement that nature has provided against, butted up against a tree that would be nice. And look all around. Sometimes the shot's right behind you. I live in the Seattle area, and I'm often at Mount Rainier, and there's a very famous photograph at Mount Rainier of the mountain. It's always the one you see, and it's of the mountain against a lake called Reflection Lake. And if you go to Mount Rainier, you take this picture. It's just, you know, it's sort of like, you know, chocolate syrup and ice cream. That's just the way it's going to work. But if you turn around and go 10 paces, there's a beautiful little seasonal waterfall that almost nobody photographs. I made a photograph of that waterfall, and it ended up being one of the first images that Amazon bought to use in an ad campaign. So it just shows you, sometimes just turning around. Also happened to me in Sedona, Arizona. I was sitting in a lake. I was actually sitting in the lake shooting a low angle shot of the water reflecting these beautiful red rocks, and I just instinctively decided to turn around in time to see these unbelievable red clouds from the sunset lit over another peak, and I whisked around and got all wet and took that picture. So look up, look down, look all around. Just do that right before you snap the shutter. You might be surprised. There could be a better shot, Derek, just over your shoulder.
That's absolutely fabulous advice. And it's so funny, when I see people when I'm out shooting sometimes, they won't even slow down the car to take a shot. The car is actually rolling when they're taking a shot. So forget about look up and look down. At least stop the car and get out of it.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Plus, you know, half the fun of being a photographer is enjoying experience. Whether you're an outdoor photographer or a sports photographer or a people photographer, maybe you like to do street scenes. You know, just being out, not watching reruns on TV is what I find compelling about photography. It's something that forces me to get off my butt and to go out and live life rather than watch it pass by on the tube. So, yeah, whether you're a nature photographer or whatever, just go out there and be out there. Get out of the dadgum car. Stop. And, you know, these few steps we've talked about, Derek, will improve most amateur photographers' photography immediately. And there's one more. There's no acronym for it, but this one's just a real simple little rule. When you think everything's ready to go and you think you're perfectly positioned for the shot, take five big steps forward so you're a little bit closer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where can we find out more about you, Scott?
Well, I have a podcast about photography called Photo Focus Radio, and that's at photofocus.com. We also happen to have 300 how-to articles. In fact, there's an article on EdFat there you can take a look at. And these are articles by me, but also by some of the world's foremost photographers, Bob Crist from National Geographic. We have Nevada Weir from Islands Magazine, David Middleton, Rod Barbie. We have tons of great articles there, and it's all free. They don't have to sign up, register. There's no flashing banner ads. Nobody's going to email you anything. That's there. And then I have a daily blog, which covers digital photography at dukeofdigital.com.
And two things on that. First of all, I'll try to link over to some of those articles on Photo Focus, and I'll put those in the show notes. And the second thing, this is just a little bit of trivia. I was checking us on, I was checking the Digital Story actually on iTunes last night, and now they're doing a new thing where they put people who downloaded this podcast also downloaded, it's kind of the Amazon thing, and your Photo Focus podcast was there in that list. So people are already kind of putting us together. Thanks a lot, Scott. It's great talking with you again, and we're going to use those tips.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show, Derek.
Now, that was some good stuff, I tell you. So what I'll do is I'll link to a couple of those articles that Scott's written about that stuff in the show notes for this show. And I'll also put links in about the slideshow showcase and the discount and all that good stuff. So the show notes will have some useful information. It'll be worth going by there. And don't forget, amongst all this stuff going on, don't forget about grab shots. We've got some good ones lately, so keep that on your list. Keep that slideshow going. Hey, thanks to Boinx Software, B-O-I-N-X, the makers of Photo Mágico. They're behind us all the way on this project, and they're fabulous sponsors. And so that's it for this week. We've done everything. We've talked about slideshows. We've given you some hot photo tips. Just had a great time all the way around. So go out there and do something. Pick one of these things. And I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.